It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Congratulations, you made it to Election Day for the primary day. It is great to be here with you. We're going to be with you all the way through this program, Charlotte at 6 across the evening, and then I'll be back with you later on tonight. It's going to be fantastic. I have Dave Matthews tickets to give away. We're not giving them away yet. Don't worry. We will be giving them away. Don't call to win the tickets yet. I want to make sure that everybody's got the shot to be a part of the fun and the frivolity that we're going to be having here. And if you tell me fun and frivolity, nobody personifies it more than my good friend, Breaking Brett Jensen. Oh, we don't have him. Oh, Brett Jensen, you got to call in the show right now. Breaking Brett Jensen needs to call in. He's going to give us an update from what's going on out there in the universe of voting all around here. And we certainly want to hear Brett's assessment of what it is that he's, you know, that you're basically seeing out there. You know, all the stuff that's happening. There's a ton of stuff that is going on, and it is great to be here with you. I saw something earlier today that is incredible. And I think it's an absolutely inaccurate number, the ranking that they've given Charlotte. I'm going to start with this because the world is a horrible, violent, mixed up, terrible place by and large. President Biden, alongside the First Lady, made their way up to Buffalo to deliver their condolences and their regards and their well wishing to the people who suffered with that murder rampage by that demon on over the weekend. This is a disgusting thing to see happen. The president went there. He made a speech. He got political. He got political, but you knew he was going to get political because that's kind of what the president does. And you know, it's a very sad story all the way around. And but it's important that he go and he visit these folks and talk to these people and establish for the rest of the world that this is not who the United States of America is. We have a problem with lunatics that are running freely throughout our communities. And that is a big deal. That is a huge deal. And it's not something that ought to be accepted in any way, shape, or form. So I'm glad he went out there and condemned what it was that happened over the weekend. The fact of the matter is, you saw a great deal of heroism take place in that horrible event. And you've seen a community come together, and it's so heartbreaking and sad that it has to come together under these circumstances. But nonetheless, you did see a community come together. And that's a hugely important point in terms of what it is that we are going to be looking at. And we'll take your phone calls at 704-570-1110. Brett Jensen's going to call in now because we can't get a good connection with him. You know, so I'm looking at this thing, and I think this is a big topic, and I'm going to get into it after we pick up Brett Jensen. Breaking Brett Jensen, welcome to the program. How are you?
Just fine, sir. Thank you.
It's good to be with you. All right, so give us an update on the voting that's going on out there, what you're seeing in terms of turnout and where you've been.
So I've spoken to a lot of people today, went by several precincts, and I can tell you that they said it's been steady but not overwhelmingly crowded. And a lot of times on voting day, especially on general election day in November, you will have people waiting outside in line when they open up the polls and open the front doors. And there were most of the three places that I went to today, none of them said that there was a line. They said, but we've just been steady all day. And then I spoke to the Mecklenburg County Board, the director of the Mecklenburg County Board of Elections, Michael Dickerson, and went by and talked to him. And he said, look, he said, if we have a turnout today like we did 4 years ago, 55,000 people in Mecklenburg County 4 years ago in a off-year election, they voted on election day. He said, if we have a turnout like that, then we're going to probably get closer to about 15%, 15-16%, he goes, which is really, really high for a primary.
Does he have any indication by party affiliation who's turning out more people?
In this particular county, it's Mecklenburg, it's the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you it's something like 2/3 of all independents are voting in the Democrat races. Now, again, there's only one race on the Republican side to really vote on, and that's the Senate race, where on the Democrat side, you've got sheriff, and you've got district attorney, and you've got the city council, and you've got, like, other things to vote for. where county commissioners, where on the Republican side, really only all you've got is the Senate side. So a lot of independents are voting on the Democrat primaries.
Is there anything that's caught your eye as you've been, driving around, checking in with people, seeing how the process is working? Is there anything that sticks in your mind?
Not really. And I even asked Michael Dickerson, I was like, is there anything jumped out, anything odd happened during this whole, early voting situation? He goes, no. He goes, everything's been really, really smooth. We've had no issues, no machine malfunctions or anything like that. He said, everything's been really smooth. And so, but that's the thing, Brett, you and I talked about this a week and a half ago, after the leakage of the RV Wade, that's when the voting just started coming out in full force. And Dickerson said, we've doubled the amount of early voters this time compared to 2018 in the midterms for early voting. We've doubled that amount. And so, but he said, but then again, because we've doubled that, maybe there won't be as many walk-ups on election day. But he did say, but that was the thing that you and I were looking at, because they're like, no one was voting early on. You remember, like, we were talking about how no one was voting.
Yeah, low numbers, right.
Yeah, right. And then that thing happened, and then the numbers went from like 800 a day to like 3,000 and 2,000 and 2,500. So it'll be interesting to see if that was an anomaly or if it's carrying through today.
All right, so we know that you'll be a part of all the coverage that's going to be happening tonight, as well as circumstances warrant, and as the storyline moves. Is there a particular part of this race that you're curious about? A race in North Carolina that you're curious about coming up tonight?
Well, the one that I'm for locally, I'll be at Sheriff McFadden's headquarters for a while, and I'll be at Gina Hicks, the two primary people running for sheriff. I'll be at each one of their individual headquarters, but also the city council. I mean, you're going to have two former city council members not make it on the Democrat side to the general election, and I'll be swinging by. Larkin Eggleston, who's on the city council, mm-hmm. He's having a joint party with Mayor Vi Lyles, and so I'm going to swing by there and see how things are going with them. Mayor Vi Lyles is obviously going to win the Democrat side, but it's going to be very interesting. Larkin's in a fight for his life, and so it'll be interesting to see if he can pull it out.
All right, great stuff. Breaking Brett Jensen. Follow him on Twitter at Brett_Jensen. Appreciate you coming by. We'll talk to you later.
Anytime, Brett. I appreciate it.
Take care. That's Brett Jensen. I'm Brett Witterbull. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Witterbull Show, 704-570-1110. Durham update coming out of the trial in Washington. Ex-Clinton attorney used the FBI as a political tool. This is an all-Democrat jury for all intents and purposes. I don't expect that anything is going to come out of this particular trial. I don't want to make anybody bummed out or feel sad or anything like that, but you've got to keep your eye on the ball. Your eye ought to be on the border. Your eye ought to be on food shortages. Your eye ought to be on inflation. This is bread and circuses in Washington, D.C. I get it. You're seeing Durham for the first time. You're seeing this dirtbag lawyer, a best friend of Mark Elias, go walking in there, and you have people who are sitting on that jury that are absolutely not going to convict because they hate Donald Trump, and more importantly, they hate you and MAGA Nation and all of that. So please understand, when you watch the coverage of this stuff, this is in many ways a distraction. At least that's my opinion. Maybe you feel differently. Maybe you feel that we're going to get a measure of justice 6 and 7 years after this grave offense was committed. The actual attempt of an insurrection, the actual attempt of a coup d'etat, which took place in 2016 into 2017 with the full cooperation of the current sitting president of the United States and the former sitting president of the United States and Samantha Power and Susan Rice and the folks that are inside the administration now, but I don't think you're going to get a measure of justice in this regard. And I do think the driver of the day has got to be the fact that we're looking at it could be potentially 500,000 people that come across the border as a result of Title 42. And I think you're going to see a lot of anger continuing to percolate and fester as it relates to supply chain baby formula, all this sort of stuff. So if I'm the administration, I am very happy to be talking about Durham and that investigation and these trials. By the way, if you really want to know what component of this story is really going to get the legs, it's going to be General Flynn, who filed a $50 million lawsuit against the federal government. Now, if he's able to get Joe Biden deposed, you could actually, if you're lucky, end up with another Lewinsky-type situation. And what I mean by that is, you get Joe Biden under oath. He already told little George Stephanopoulos that that he knew nothing about looking and unmasking and spying on the Trump campaign or any of that sort of stuff. That's a provable lie. That's a provable lie, because on January the 5th, 2017, there was a meeting at the White House. Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Hussein Biden, and Comey were all in that meeting together, and they were looking at what it was that they could do essentially to kneecap Trump early on in the effort. And so if you can get Biden under oath and he lies in a deposition, you would actually have part two of the 98 impeachment. You would have Joe Biden potentially lying under oath and being you could throw him out on his ear. And then you could end up with Kamala Harris as your president, which, you know, how much worse could she possibly be than what Joe Biden is right now? We'll take your phone calls on that, though. 704-570-1110. All right. I want to talk about something that I think is very interesting as somebody who is a newcomer here. Now, look, I don't pretend to be a native Carolinian. I don't pretend to be somebody who's from here. But I am taking great exception and umbrage from this new list that came out. U.S. News and World Report, the 150 best places to live in the U.S., for 2022 and 2023. Let me give you the front 10 so you can understand the context by which I'm bringing this up. All right. You've got coming in at number one, Huntsville, Alabama. Number two, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Number three, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Number four, Boulder, Colorado. Number five, San Jose, California. Number six, Raleigh and Durham, North Carolina. Number seven, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Number eight, Portland, Maine. Number nine, Sarasota, Florida. Number 10, San Fran, freaking Cisco. Number 10. Number 11, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Number 12, Naples, Florida. Number 13, the best little hellhole in Texas, Austin, Texas. Des Moines, Iowa is at 14. Boise, Idaho is at 15. Grand Rapids is at 16. Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, the site of the Politburo of the United States of America comes in at 17. Boston comes in at 18. D.C. at 19. Melbourne at 20. And it just goes down from there until you get to Charlotte, which is behind Lincoln and Omaha, Nebraska. We're at 30th. What? We're worse than Albany, Madison, San Fran, freaking Cisco? We're worse than that? What is wrong with these idiots? You know what it is? They have a bias against America. Oh, yeah, Brett? Well, you just said that Huntsville, Alabama's number one. Yeah, I did say that, but that's actually what's on the list. But they don't like America. U.S. News and World Report certifiably does not like America. So Charlotte has an overall score of 6.5 out of 10. Number 30 for the best places to live. Number 61 for the best places to retire. That's a despicable, disgusting, disgraceful ranking for us. We are way better. We are way better than Ann Arbor. We are way better. San Francisco should be relegated out of the union like they do with the really bad soccer teams over there in the UK. They should relegate you out of the United States. I would personally sign the paperwork to hand California, Oregon, and Washington right over to Mexico. That's what they should do, but they won't do it. So that's the way it's going to be, folks. I mean, don't blame me. I didn't make the list. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on that. 704-570-1110. Hey, great news for you. You ready for this? You ready for this? I'm ready for this. Dave Matthews Band at PNC Pavilion. That's right. WBT giving you a chance to see Dave Matthews Band live in concert Friday, May 20th at PNC Music Pavilion. Showtime is 7:30 p.m. So beat the competition to the jump and make sure you're there when DMB performs hits like The Space Between, Crash Into Me, and Where Are You Going? I'm looking for caller number 15. Caller number 15. for your chance to win, 704-570-1110. I'm Brett Witterbull. Good luck. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be here with you. Our phone number 704-570-1110. Let's grab a call from Winston. Hey, Winston, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Brett. Good work. Hey, I was listening this afternoon to Jerome Powell, who was being interviewed on the financial channels. I watch the financial channels. I do a little bit of day trading and so forth. But anyway, you know, Jerome Powell, you and I both know he shouldn't have been reelected and given another four-year term.
Yes, that's right.
We had just Steve Forbes came out last week on Marie Bartiromo's show and gave a full-throated denunciation. You could tell his veins in his neck were beet red, and he said, why on earth has he been rewarded for driving our economy into an inflation hellhole?
That's right.
And the American people are being punished day after day. Powell is there for one thing, and one thing only. He supplies the fuel for the big boys on Wall Street.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
The big boys who buy the houses, that push up the rent.
That's right.
The mortgages. You and I, we're on the same page. So, you know, what do we do?
Well, you can't do anything. I mean, Jerome Powell, they put him back in there, but you could swap him out. You could go and get Solomon from Goldman Sachs, or you could go put Lloyd Blankfein in there, or Jamie Dimon, or somebody.
Can't do that.
No. What I'm saying is you can, they're all the same is what I'm saying. You could switch them out. I'm not saying I want that. I'm saying you could switch them all out. They're all doing the exact same thing. They don't care about the little guy. Okay. They don't care about the little guy. And their concern, all right, is continuing to be regarded as in the in crowd. They want to be in that in crowd. They don't want to get attacked by people like Elizabeth Warren and those other people. The problem is you're going to be hard pressed to find somebody to come in that's got a populist orientation or a small guy orientation. Hell, I've been reading in the Observer for the last couple of days what's happening with the trailer parks around here, how the big investors are coming in and sucking them up. So, I mean, this is sin.
You could put Judy Shelton in. She backs the gold standard, but she was given a thumbs down here at the last nomination period. But I wanted to bring another point real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, savings rates. I have a Capital One Premier Savings. It paid before the half-point increase. It paid 0.6. 2 weeks later, it usually goes up in unison. It's still sitting there at 0.6. These banks are not giving any, they're not raising their rates on savings because they don't have to. The banks don't do what they used to do. The banks used to give interest for people who deposited capital in the bank and lent it out.
That's correct.
To people.
That's right.
They don't do it anymore.
No.
Fed window.
They blew that up. They blew that up with Silverado Savings and Loan and all that stuff that went on there. Okay, it used to be Winston could go and bring $10,000, put it in the bank. That $10,000 would be put to work as long as the bank had reserves, right, to cover what they were going to have to pay back out. But that's not what goes on anymore. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. Okay, the gas is at $4 a gallon in every single state. Okay, and J.P. Morgan put out an alert earlier today that says, hold on to your hat. You're not going to believe this. They say come August, gas is going to $6.20. $6.20 a gallon. $62 to buy 10 gallons of gas. All right. And total U.S. gasoline inventories could fall below 160 by the end of August, the lowest inventory since the 50s. Now, here's the problem with what goes on with these guys like Jerome Powell or any of these guys that are in the Fed. They are running an institution that operates like it's the 1930s. Everybody knows you're raising the rates, so everybody's going to pivot at exactly the same way. So you're not going to get those rates going up to be the thing that's going to change behavior because the behavior is already baked into the cake. It's a snake eating its tail.
Well, Jerome Powell, he talks about supply and demand. And he can't control the supply chains because of China being shut down, the Ukraine war.
Right.
But demand, to quash demand, I mean, I build things and I sell things for a living. To increase my demand for goods, I need to lower my price
of
my product.
But it's $6.20 a gallon by August. What are you going to cut? You think of all the tractor trailers that are out there driving around on electricity. Oh no, wait, they still use diesel. Think about if gasoline's going to go to $6.20, what is going to happen with the diesel price?
Well, we're all going to be on the Shoe Leather Express.
I'm sorry, he disappeared. You're going to say we're all going to be on the Shoe Leather Express? We ever have a contest and we need a phrase? Shoe Leather Express. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's it. That's it. I can tell you this right now. That's a tough situation. Let me flesh out the $6.20 a gallon by August. With expectations of strong driving demand, the U.S. summer driving season starts on Memorial Day, which lands this year on May 30th and lasts till Labor Day in early September. J.P. Morgan's commodity strategist Natasha Kaneva warns that U.S. retail prices could surge by another 37% by August, taking gasoline to $6.20 a gallon as the national average. So if you live in some godforsaken hellscape like California or New York, you may as well. At what point do people say enough is enough? At what point does this happen? You look at this and where is the money going to come from? What are airline tickets going to go to? I mean, this is absolutely insane. And you got a guy who is operating like a modern day economic Caligula. I don't mean it from the pervy kind of stuff. That's maybe the son that does that, but not him. And he's like an economic version of Caligula. He's going to appoint his horse to the Senate. This is crazy town. I'm serious. I'm not trying to stoke panic, but listen, if I'm the cable channels, I'm talking about Durham all night. I don't dare want to talk about $6.20 a gallon because you're going to have the peasants with pitchforks outside the buildings. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. I mean, that's the Shoe Leather Expressway, man. That's it. News Talk 1110, 993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Happy to welcome to the program somebody whose work I greatly admire. I really do. He is Kurt Schlichter. He is a terrific writer, a thinker, a veteran. He is somebody who believes in the importance of this country. And he's got a great warning for today of all days, which is listen up, conservatives. Stop falling in love with politicians. Kurt, thanks for being patient and joining us now.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's right that you praise me. I'm a Los Angeles trial lawyer, too, and I have a giant ego. So thank you for massaging it.
It's good to have you here. All right. Let me ask you this. You wrote this piece over at Town Hall. It's really smart. You're going into the whole, listen, don't fall in love with all these candidates that are running around that are getting the attention for the moment. You got to go for the solid rock ribbed ones that, you know, are going to actually defend this republic. As you look at things here in North Carolina, I mean, you got a three-way fight going on here. Bud, Mark Walker, and of course, Pat McCrory looking to take on Sherry Beasley. It looks like Bud has got it going on. Are you feeling okay about Ted Budd?
Yeah, I think he's going to do well. It looks like he's a viable candidate, and it looks like he'd be a good senator. Now, of course, I'm from California.
Sure.
So the last thing you want is me telling North Carolinians about how to run their government because, you know, I'm from California.
Well,
so I have a track record of failure. But look, I trust you guys to do the right thing.
Well, all right, let's take a state that's a little bit more like California, at least when it comes to electoral politics and the way things go. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you've got a big fight going on in that state right now. You've got Dr. Oz, you've got Kathy Barnett, you've got McCormick. I know who I like in that mix. Who do you like?
I have to go with McCormick, and here's why. Oz, I don't think he's I don't think he's a conservative. I don't think he can win in November. Kathy Barnett, pretty conservative, but she has no organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think she peaked too soon. And frankly, you know, this Saturday, I was reading her just-released DD-214, which is the military discharge document. I'm a retired colonel. I know a little about this stuff.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, why am I – and I'm standing in line at a concert, Brad. I was trying to see the English Beat and a bunch of alternative bands here in Southern California. And I'm sitting there squinting on my phone trying to read her 214 4 days before the election. Okay? Why wasn't this out months ago? All right? And I'm reading and I'm going, this is fine. She got in. She did a couple tours as an enlisted soldier. Great. Hua. Something to be proud of.
Yep.
Why am I reading this just now? It's that kind of disorganization I can't deal with. David McCormick, a fellow Gulf War vet.
Yep.
Very bright guy. You know, he's getting put in the moderate lane. I don't know if that's true. I don't think so. I've talked to him. He seems pretty hardcore to me. I think he's the guy who's going to win in November. And my rule is you vote for the most conservative guy who's most likely to win.
Right.
If you're in Maine, that means you vote for Susan Collins.
That's right.
If you're in Pennsylvania, you vote for Dave McCormick. And if you're in California, you go jump off a bridge.
I was going to say, why are you – I mean, you know, you're a guy who's able to kind of move about the country. I've seen you over at CPAC in Florida. I mean, we've spent some time together. Why are you still there?
Because at Fort Benning's Officers Candidate School, they didn't teach me how to retreat. This is my state.
Nice.
I love my state.
Nice.
And I'm not going to let a bunch of pinko commie wusses who can't do a push-up push me out of it. I'm not going anywhere.
All right, good. So you're a fighter and you're a conservative. That's hugely important. So let me ask you this then, Kurt, and this is a deadly serious question. A week ago, everybody was freaking out and panicking because of what was coming out with this leak from Roe versus Wade and the potential decision. Does that frighten you? Does that make you feel concerned with the summer of rage that may be descending upon us?
Oh, a bunch of fussy feminists are throwing their hefty weight around. I'm not worried. Look, first of all, I like when people exercise free speech. I'm a conservative.
Sure.
I'm not afraid of it. Even when people want to get out there and say something dumb. And frankly, it helps us. Because you look at some of these people, Brent, and it's not, you know, 30 years ago, I think Bill Clinton for the pro-choice site had it right. Safe, legal, and rare. They weren't happy about it. It was an ugly subject. But they kind of differed from the rest of us. But they're not nuts. These people are demons. There's one woman out there saying, would you support the an abortion at 8.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, if the woman chooses. How about after the kid's born, if the woman chooses? What kind of demonic, Moloch-worshipping insanity is that? Normal people look at that and go, you know, if I can't trust them not to kill babies, I can't trust them to, well, heck, they're trying to kill babies. Look at the formula nightmare. I think when they let the lunatic, it used to be fringe, now it's lunatic mainstream, get out there and get in public, it drives people to us. Look at Latinx Americans,
mm-hmm.
and I'm proud to be married to a Hispanic immigrant who came and became an American by choice. They were supposed to be Democrats, but no.
That's right.
They're coming over to the Republican side because we're about hard work, we're about families, we're about patriotism, and nobody's more patriotism patriotic than Hispanic Americans.
Right.
And, you know, they look at the insanity in the Democrats and they say, well, I got to be a Republican. Even though I was told I can't be, I'm going to be. And I think it's great.
All right, final question, because my producer wants to know this. How was the English Beat show?
You know, I've seen him 4 times. Dave's a great guy. I saw him backstage last time. And Billy Zane showed up wearing pajamas.
Oh, very nice.
See, I love California. They were good. The Damned was good. Psychedelic Furs were good. Blondie was incredible.
Look at this. Kurt Schlichter, we got to get you back on again soon, my friend. I appreciate you being out there. Thanks to you for your service, and thanks for coming by, my man.
Oh, as a colonel, I didn't do anything.
Take care. That's Kurt. Brett Wooderville, News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. Hour number two now underway. President Biden says he's had enough and that he is now going to start attacking Republicans. He's been a nice guy for too long, he says, and he's going to start coming after the Republicans. I'll give you details in a matter of minutes. Something you should think about. This is a great quote from Henry Ward Beecher. You ready for this? This is really, really good advice. Give this advice to your children. I think it's a smart move. Hold yourself responsible for a higher standard than anyone expects of you. Never excuse yourself. Never pity yourself. Be a hard master to yourself and be lenient to everybody else. That, I think, is a great, great phrase to live by. I think that's fantastic. So there is nobody harder on themselves than Joseph Robinette Biden. I mean, just ask him. He'll tell you. Three easy steps to winning the midterms. Step one, spend 6 months workshopping and focus grouping the term ultra MAGA to finally tie the Republicans to Donald Trump. This is a column by Guy Benson over at Town Hall. It worked like a charm in Virginia and New Jersey last fall. Wait, really? Step two, get a grumpy near-octogenarian with a lousy approval rating to finally start railing against the Republicans. Step three, victory. It's foolproof. Well, Jonathan Lemire, who's one of the toadies, who is in love in so many ways with the Biden administration. He's an NBC reporter, and he puts out a tweet and he says, "The fever didn't break, and for the White House, efforts at bipartisanship have finally taken a back seat. To the frustration of some of his closest aides, Biden had instead insisted on trying to work with the GOP, but now it's time to change course and attack." Is this the first time that Joe Biden has attacked you Republican people, you MAGA people, you conservative people, you libertarian people, you people not called Hunter? The reality is Jonathan Lemire doesn't understand. It's relatively easy to get it, but it's not that you have a problem with Republicans. You also have a problem with people in your party. You actually have a problem with Manchin. You actually have a problem, depending on the issue, with Sinema. You actually may have a problem with a person like Mark Kelly, who sees how radical and whacked out you're going. To the frustration of many Democrats and some of his closest advisors, he has steadfastly spent more than a year in office insisting on trying to work across the aisle with Republicans. It's produced some notable legislative successes. Like what? It's also been colored by a fair dose of in-your-face GOP obstructionism. Now, more than a year later, Biden no longer believes that most Republicans will eventually drop their fealty to Donald Trump and show a willingness to engage. He's making a mistake here. Because it's not a fealty to Donald Trump. It's a hatred. It's a dislike of this administration deciding they're going to shut off energy during a crunch because of their religion, of climate change. That's why people are mad. People are mad because the streets are running red with blood from criminals. And you're letting people who are criminals get right out of jail and reoffend. This is not a hard thing to understand. He sucks up to the mullahs in Tehran, offering them a nuclear deal that will benefit only Vlad Putin. What is this guy? Who is this guy? Are we all being punked? It makes you wonder. Terry is up first. Hey, Terry, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
You sound great.
You're going to hate me for this.
That's okay. Well, what happened?
I got a parody.
A parody? A parody of what?
And this is for Jim, the West Coast correspondent.
Holy cow. It's for Jim. It's a love song to Jim. Okay, let's hear this.
It's not, well, I wouldn't call it a love song, but it's a comment.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Why do you say build me back better, Buttercup Joe, when you know
You are tearing us down. You act like the American people are not around. You are not found. You're the only one in this great big world that don't have a clue. And the bad things you do, you can't build us up. Buttercup, Joe, quit bringing us down.
Wow. That was really good. That was spectacular. Well done, Terry.
Well, Jim is going to, I'm sure.
Go ahead.
You always compliment me.
Well?
Even when I'm being stupid.
You're not being stupid. I can spot talent, and you're a talented guy. I mean, that's no joke, my friend. As Joe Biden would say, not a joke.
Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. I appreciate you being out there. Tara, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, sorry we got a miscommunication yesterday, but anyway, who knew who?
It's water under the bridge.
What about, so I went to vote, nobody in line.
Yeah.
And I've got five kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think anything matters. When are we going to let people? I said, it does matter. Your vote does matter. My husband and I both vote. Their exes both vote. What is going on? And they said, my son told me, who's been in the military, said, they all become the same. So do young people feel like that? Do old people? Why do we have 1 in 10 people
voting?
You know, they talk about, oh, now we're able to vote.
I will explain this for you straight ahead, Tara. And there is nothing but water under the bridge here, okay, my friend? You got it.
Aqua Posada.
There you go. There you go. Oh, man. I don't think the foundations have gotten so much attention than anybody else. I'm amazed by it, Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes.
I
mean, yes.
That's 2 weeks.
No, man.
Holy cow. We have to pay ASCAP BMI fees. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. So Tara called and wanted to know why people aren't voting, why you're not seeing this huge outpouring of people coming into the polling places and being excited about being a part of this. And she was talking about her son who served in the military and had noted this as a behavior. There's an easy enough explanation to understand why it is you have people turning out the way they turn out. And it's very simple and easy to understand. It's the quality of the candidates. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm somebody who consumes a lot of sports, culture, politics, things like that. And we have all seen people burst onto the scene in the world of politics that are game changers, that suddenly get everybody's attention, all that sort of stuff. You have been in Charlotte, likely, right? And you have seen teams perform very, very well. I'm thinking about the Panthers and Super Bowl years, okay? And you've seen teams perform very, very well, and you've seen teams come up very, very short. It's about that magic. It's about that connection. By and large, most people running for office view that as the career path that's going to be best for them. And they say, okay, I'll start out running as a council person. I'll start out running as a commissioner. I'll start out running as an alderman if a community has that, or a county commissioner if the community has that, or any of those sorts of things. And then I'm going to work my way up, and I'm going to become somebody who runs then for the state assembly, state senate. I'm going to run for a position that then puts me in Washington, D.C. Or you come out and you're like a phenom, like Madison Cawthorn was once upon a time, and comes out and catches lightning in a bottle and decides he's going to run for Congress. Or you're 2010 and you're running as part of the Tea Party movement, and you're somebody who comes out like a Jim Jordan who bursts out onto the scene. you can't predict who it is that's going to break out because you have to understand what the circumstances are out there at the body political level. Now, listen, I think running in this go-round is really hard because you're coming off the pandemic and you don't really know what people are feeling, but you are certain that they're feeling pretty mad right now with the way things are going. You're in a town that is a single party town by and large, right? I mean, I know you have Republicans in town, but you're outnumbered and it's a tough type of situation. You have got to get out there and just connect with the people. If they're enthused and excited and driven on a mission, then they will turn up to vote. Otherwise, basically, it's like Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been in Congress since Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets. I mean, he's a guy that's never had a job. His whole job has been to just be a part of the thing, a part of the machine, whatever that is. And now he's running the machine. And he was a part of the machine for a lot of years, and now he's running the machine, and he's running it really badly. So people aren't going to be enthused. On the local level, you tell me, is there a candidate that's lit you on fire in a positive way at the local level, even in a community level? I mean, is there somebody that you look at and you go, this person is going to be fantastic? Or is it the same old assemblage of hacks and crackpots that you know are just going to end up being in a seat somehow, some way when the music stops? That's the question. So how do you get people motivated? You have to have a great product. How many of you were excited about Twitter a month ago, 2 months ago, before Elon Musk gets involved and thinks about buying Twitter? All of a sudden now you're excited about him buying Twitter. Why? Because he's going to clean out the snakes. He's going to get rid of all these crooks. He's going to get rid of all these people. People like a leader. People like a leader who's going to be able to resonate with them, talk about the things they care about. That's what I think the secret is. It's not a political science answer. It's a connection answer. It's the most basic form of human communication. Stan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks.
I think that one of the reasons a lot of people aren't voting today is because it's all about the money. What happens is when the government controls with regulations and taxes who gets wealthy, that creates the donor class. And for those breaks, they donate back. So all that money winds back up in the campaign coffers of the people who actually approve that money. And that's that big circle go around. And I will tell you right now, I'm in Fort Mill, so I didn't get to vote today.
Mm-hmm.
But I want somebody to tell me that basically of all the people running on the Republican side today, if 2 years from now, we would have been able to tell a dime's worth of difference as to which one of those candidates won today. And the answer is probably no.
Right. You want stars running. You want people that are not you running. I'm not saying you personally. I'm saying we want people that are not us running. You want people that are leaders. You know that.
Right. And you don't get those. You don't get those because they control the money, and by doing that, they control who runs. The only two people that I know of that would scare them: Elon Musk, which can't run for president,
correct,
and Donald Trump, because they got there on their own, and therefore they didn't owe anybody anything.
I think there are other people, but I think that they realize what a hassle this is. And when you have the potential of Antifa and kooks showing up in front of your house, trying to burn your house down or beat you up or, you know, calling SWAT calls on your house, you know, it's certainly something that people are worried about. But at the same time, there has to be somebody who's willing to step up and say, I don't care. I'm going to run. And I'm going to do the best I can to try to win that seat. And if they want to come at me, then so be it. And it takes a measure of bravery, too.
Now, I have one more thing I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
About your Kurt Busch guy winning yesterday. Wasn't that great?
Man, that was a big win. And I got to tell you something. The Petty family signing off on 45 going on his car. Man, I think that was a huge thing. That was a big deal, and I think it was a really good moment all the way around. Kurt Busch was a hothead early on, but he has turned out to be a pretty good elder statesman in the game of NASCAR.
Yeah, and that win was very popular yesterday.
Absolutely, my friend. All right, Stan, I appreciate you being out there. Kurt Busch, shout out. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. You know, today is a hugely important date in history, and I'm shocked. I haven't seen it commemorated any place on any of the news channels. I'm not joking around. I'm not doing shtick. I'm being totally sincere and serious. May 17th, 1954. Does anybody know what happened on May 17th, 1954? This is a huge date. In a major civil rights victory, the U.S. Supreme Court hands down a unanimous decision in Brown versus Board of Education of Topeka. It's commonly known as Brown versus Board of Education, ruling that racial segregation in public educational facilities is unconstitutional. The historic decision, which brought an end to federal tolerance of racial segregation, specifically dealt with Linda Brown, a young African-American girl who had been denied admission to her local elementary school in Topeka, Kansas, because of the color of her skin. You know, it's fascinating to me that when you run the number on it, okay, when you run the number on it and you say, okay, so that it's 2022. That decision came down in 1954. That's 68 years ago. 68 years ago. And I'm not talking about this by way of saying, well, everything is perfect, everything is awesome, everything has never been better. No, no, I'm not doing that. But what I am doing is saying there has been great progress made in a number of areas in our country, and that not all is lost. The progress of prior generations is still very, very much alive, if you choose to see it. But I didn't. MSNBC, NBC News, ABC, the FNC. I haven't seen it on any of the channels. Not a mention of Brown versus Board of Education. It's a pretty incredible thing. Jim is next. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
Yes, thank you for having me back. And speaking of education, I have to talk to Terry.
Uh-oh.
I have to tell Terry that you do not lack for intellectual capacity.
Uh-huh.
You are a very wise man.
That's a good point.
And what I don't want to hear him apologize for his level of education.
All are welcome here. This is a welcoming community, this radio
because
show.
Because it's like his mama told him when he was young.
Let me tell you.
He sat him beside her and he told him, you be a simple kind of man.
Oh, my gosh.
You do this for me and you will be loved and understand.
Holy cow.
You be a simple kind of man. You do this for me, son, if you can.
All right. That was good. That was good. Unexpected. Kind of disturbing, but good. I figured you were going to come up with something else. I thought maybe you were going to hit me with a three-dog night. Mama told me not to come. I mean, I don't know, but you gave me some simple man, and I can see the video as you do it. So, bravo, Jim. Bravo. I think we just leave that there. I'm gonna let it breathe for a minute. Okay, that's good. 704-570-1110. I never, when we started the program, I never thought we'd get into like a sing-off, but apparently we have now moved into that territory. I give you my word, you'll never hear me sing on this program. You're never going to hear me sing on this program. But COVID is still out there, and we'll talk about that straight ahead. But first, let me do this. Cut number 14. Can I have cut number 14? Over on CNBC, there's a program called Squawk Box. It's on very early in the morning. And you have these guys talking about stocks and the markets and the economy and all this kind of stuff. I never quite realized how dense of a person Pete Buttigieg is until he was on the show yesterday. Now, Andrew Ross Sorkin, he's one of the hosts on the program. He's also the guy who created the Showtime series Billions. about the corrupt hedge fund guy. He wrote and created a lot of that show, but he also works for the New York Times and he works at CNBC. And so he brings on Pete Buttigieg. Sorkin's a smart guy. Buttigieg, we've been told, is a really smart guy. And so Andrew Ross Sorkin says to him, okay, you guys want to raise taxes on the wealthy. How do you think that is, that that's going to reduce inflation? Because that's what Joe Biden has been talking about. He's been talking about reducing inflation by raising taxes on people, on rich people and people who are perceived as rich, which really means people over $100,000 a year in the Biden administration viewpoint. And so Andrew Ross Sorkin actually tries to save Buttigieg from saying something really dumb, because Pete Buttigieg wants to talk about something else completely different and pivots into it. That's all I'm going to tell you about this. I want you to hear this clip. Cut number 14, Andrew Ross Sorkin and Pete Buttigieg. Go.
And look, I've talked about how you could raise corporate taxes from where they are today. So we're not so far off here. But do you not agree that these are two different issues? Meaning, if you change corporate taxes, yes, in the immediate term, maybe it will have some impact on inflation. But corporate tax is a long-term issue. You either deal with it because you think it's the right thing to do or it's the wrong thing to do, not because you're trying to deal with inflation right this second.
Well, a lot of it is what you're going to do with the revenue. And again, we have an agenda to use tax revenue on things that are going to ease inflationary pressures. But also, we have a very clear contrast right now, right? You have Senate Republican proposals that are about raising taxes on the poor and the middle class. And you have the president's worldview, which is shared by the majority of Americans, that if anybody needs to be carrying more of the load right now, it is the wealthiest and corporations that have become extremely profitable. By the way, corporations also that have often, hold on, this is really important. Well, everybody corporations that have invoked inflation as an excuse to keep prices high.
He doesn't want to give an answer. He doesn't want to give an answer about how it is we're going to get more money in people's pockets because we're going to raise taxes on corporations. That's not going to bring prices down. It's supply. The only way you get prices down in inflation is more supply. If you have 10 things and you suddenly are able to sell 1,000 of those things that are in demand, you're going to reduce prices because you want to move more product. But see, this guy is not very smart. All he wants to talk about is green stuff and Green New Deals and infrastructure and all this kind of stuff. It's unbelievable. It's the entire administration has gone to this very weird place. This very weird place. Yesterday was the very first day for Karine Jean-Pierre to be the new spokesperson. Pete Ducey, he asks her about how higher taxes stop inflation, and she goes to the climate card. Cut number 15 from KGP talking to Pete Ducey. Here we go.
So look, I think we encourage those who have done very well, right, especially those who care about climate change, to support a fair tax code that doesn't change, that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem, if you think about that as an example.
These are all amateurs who don't know what they're talking about on the economy, and this should frighten all of you, because this is why you want to talk about local depression in terms of why people don't turn out to vote or any of that sort of stuff. That's why, because this is what you're being served up on the television programs, on radio shows, in newspapers. You're being served up economic ignorance at every turn from people who do not have any experience in working in the private sector. I'm not talking about a think tank, and I'm not talking about McKinsey. I'm talking about actually working for a living. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Do you remember the guy we had on our program 2 weeks ago from openthebooks.com? Do you remember this guy? He joined us and he was talking about the royalties that are paid to the scientists in the NIH. He was talking about Fauci was getting royalty payments for developing different sort of vaccines and things like that. So this is a huge issue that I don't think many people are talking about. And I was checking out the Epoch Times earlier this morning. This is a huge story, folks. I mean, this is like a massive story. So these are people who are employed by the National Institute of Health, and they get paid by pharmaceutical and biological companies. They pay you a royalty. Now, you're in the employ of the federal government. You're a federal employee. You're overseeing some of these organizations that are developing things, and then they kick you a piece of the pie. Here's the story. Key NIH person received 70 royalty payments. Two key National Institutes for Health executives in positions of influence on decisions about who gets grants from the agency received a total of 77 previously undisclosed royalty payments from outside firms between 2010 and 2014. I don't remember who was president then. The secret royalty payments, which were first reported by the Epoch Times, are among thousands estimated to total at least $350 million paid between 2010 and 2020. Longtime NIH director Francis Collins, remember he was the guy who sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow? Do you remember when he had the guitar and he was playing it? We played it, I think. That guy received 14 payments from these companies. Tony the Fauci Fauci, who heads NIH's National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases, got 23. Clifford Lane, Fauci's chief deputy, got 8 payments. Acting NIH Director Lawrence Tabak, conceded during questioning last week by John Molinar, Republican from Michigan, that the undisclosed royalties have the appearance of a conflict of interest, but he insisted the agency has sufficient internal safeguards to prevent such problems. Federal law and ethics regulations bar federal employees from activities that present either the appearance of or actual conflict of interest. During his tenure, okay, so let me set this up here right. I want to set this up here totally right. Dr. Michael Gottesman has been the NIH's Deputy Director for Intramural Research, DDIR, since 1994. It doesn't mean that they're playing basketball part-time. It's just a program that they're running. According to his official resume on the NIH website, Gottesman coordinates activities and facilitates cooperation among the 24 institute and center-based scientific directors to achieve scientific training and public health missions of NIH. He provides guidance for the entire intramural program and reports to the NIH director, Lawrence Tabak. He oversees and ultimately approves the hiring of all NIH principal investigators, and he is the institutional official responsible for human subjects research protections, meaning research integrity, technology transfer, and animal care and use at the NIH. During his tenure, Gottesman has created the post-baccalaureate training program, a whole bunch of other programs that he has put together. Gottesman announced in 2021 his resignation from the position pending selection of his successor. Gottesman got 70 royalty payments during the five-year period from 2010 to 2014. This is according to Open the Books. But remember, they told us at Open the Books that they have tens of thousands of listings, and they have to go in and look manually to link them up with who got the payments. They don't even know who got the payments. Congressional Democrats, including Patty Murray from Washington and Frank Pallone from New Jersey, they were silent last week when they were asked by the Epoch Times about the secret royalty payments. Republicans on Capitol Hill, however, ripped the payments as an obvious conflict of interest. So why can't somebody just come in and pay, I don't know, Christopher Wray some royalty payments? Why can't you just do that? Why can't you just go pay off somebody else with royalty payments and just call it a royalty? Hunter Biden's got to get in that royalty payments business. I'm Brett Witterbull. That's Leonard Skinner. News Talk 1110-993-WBD. It is the Brett Witterbull Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. It is primary day, and we will be joined by our good friend, Bo Thompson, who's going to come by. We'll cross the streams at about 5:20 or so. He'll be helming the coverage beginning at 7 p.m. tonight, and it's going to be a full night of coverage for these primaries that are happening, and we're going to keep you up to date all the way until the later hours of this evening. And we certainly want you to stay right here at News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Because unlike the shows that are on TV, you know, all the political coverage, we actually take your phone calls. We actually take your thoughts and your beliefs and, you know, a sense of kind of how you're feeling about the issues that are out there. So let me throw out this question. It's not something that I have asked very much in this cycle, but I wanted to ask it now because I think at 5:07 in the afternoon, we can talk about this on Election Day, primary day. If you voted in the Republican primaries, if you voted when it came to selecting a candidate to represent you as your senator, who did you vote for and why? Did you vote for Ted Budd? Did you vote for Governor Pat McCrory? Did you vote for Mark Walker? What was the decision point for you in that regard? Now, obviously, we're taking calls from people on the Democrat side of the aisle as well. Did you vote for Sherry Beasley? Did you vote for somebody else? That race looks like it's much clearer in terms of what the outcome is going to be. I do believe Sherry Beasley is going to end up being the nominee, but you know, we certainly want to get your thoughts on how it was you voted, what you were thinking. Perhaps you voted absentee or mail-in or whatever you were doing. We'd love to hear from you at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. One of the things President Biden did today was he headed up to to Buffalo to pay his condolences, along with the First Lady Jill Biden, for this horrible massacre that took place on Saturday. And he expressed his concerns and he expressed his condolences. And he's obviously as disturbed as we are about this sort of violence taking place in a place like a supermarket on a Saturday afternoon with these 10 beautiful people who lost their lives only because they were out at that supermarket when this demon came in and attempted and successfully murdered 10 of them, including a hero police officer who did his best to try to save lives. Well, President Biden connected the racist mass shooting in Buffalo on Saturday to the protests of the Trump supporters on January the 6th. Earlier today, I told you that he was changing up the narrative, changing up the direction of the argument and the fight. And he's now saying no more Mr. Nice Guy, and we're going to blame the Republicans for everything, including what happened in Buffalo. President cited the January 6th riots after calling all Americans to, quote, reject white supremacy because they're making the country look bad. We can't allow them to distort America, the real America, Biden said. We can't allow them to destroy the soul of the nation. He then immediately referred to January the 6th. As president of the United States, I travel all the time and other nations ask me, heads of state and other countries ask me what's going on, what happened on January 6th, what happened in Buffalo. The president demanded that Americans condemn white supremacy, insisting that silence about the issue is compliance. So if you don't talk about and condemn white supremacy, then you are in compliance. You are complying with that. That's the argument coming from the president, who says he is now taking a different tack when it comes to taking on you Republicans. 704-570-1110, the number to be a part of the conversation. Let's go to Mike, who's next up. He wants to speak about appearance of impropriety. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm well, thanks.
A number of years ago, I had an appointment meeting with two securities and exchange attorneys.
Uh-huh.
And we met at a coffee shop. And I sat down, ordered a pot of coffee, and they came in, sat down. We discussed our business, And when we were finished, I went to pick up the check, and they said, no, we can't do that. We're not allowed to take anything. Now, it's a scary thought if you think that it appears that I'm buying two SEC attorneys by buying them a cup of coffee,
right.
Yet these people at NIH are able to take untold thousands and thousands
right.
of dollars,
right.
and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right, and that, to me, I didn't know that you could personally profit from your work inside a government institution. I would believe, like, what you're saying, which is, okay, I might think it's a little weird that I'm buying you off with a cup of coffee, but if that's the rules and regs, God bless you for following the rules and the regulations and just being straightforward with me. I don't understand how
the... The company I work for now has policy in place that, you know, you can take a cup of coffee, you can take a lunch.
Sure.
But when it comes to tickets to the Masters,
that's
no,
right.
you can't take those.
That's right. That's right. And we have regulations in radio and television, especially in radio, because there were issues many, many years ago with stuff. And we have to do training and retraining about every year and a half, so that we're all on the same page, understanding that there cannot be an appearance of impropriety or favoritism or anything like that when it comes to you know, endorsing or talking about something. I mean, it's all about disclosure. Now, the NIH is not doing any disclosure, and, you know, they're just getting, I love that they call it royalties, because I would have thought a royalty meant you wrote a book, and then you got paid because of the book you wrote, but apparently these guys just get to hang out at the NIH, and they just get money kicked to them from big corporations.
That's a scary thought.
It is. It is. It is in a lot of ways, given the fact that you just had a mandate to get vaccinated in this country with, I mean, however, you know, 300 million doses or whatever it was that they were doing. That's a pretty remarkable thing to be seeing royalties get kicked back. This is going to be a big scandal, I think, Mike. I think this is going to blow up.
I hope so, but I don't think so.
No, we'll see. We'll see, buddy. I appreciate you being out there, Mike. Thanks for being a great call. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brent Winterbull Show. We crossed the streams at this time. Me, Bo Thompson, and me. Good to have you back, Bo Thompson. How are you?
Hey, happy election day.
Yes, indeedy. You expecting any surprises? What are you kind of looking for? What are you feeling about tonight? All right, that was just tones that just came through. Bo, you still there?
I am here.
Yeah, we didn't get any kind of an alert with that, and we got nothing with that. Do we have anything coming in? No, right?
The sun is shining.
The sun is shining.
I think that's what that was about.
Okay. All right, Bo. So there's you never know.
Three, two, one.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? Yeah.
I'm not anticipating any huge surprises tonight. I'm very curious to see how the city council Democratic primary goes. That one to me is all five, but we talked about this a lot this morning. All six of the candidates are known commodities and have track records. I mean, obviously Pat Cannon is the one of that group that is the most interesting, I think, no matter what side you're on, because he's a guy who went to jail for what he did while he was mayor of Charlotte, and now he's trying to return to at least not his old post, but close to it. So that one, but I think most people think he's going to win. So it wouldn't be a surprise if he won, but I think the fact that you have six spots and you have only four that will advance, meaning two people who are very well known and successful at times, depending on who we're talking about, are going to be left behind. And so that tonight is intriguing to me, but I won't be surprised, honestly, any way that could go. So I'm just going to be watching it closely, because I really honestly can't. I could see it going two or three different ways.
If it appears that the two front runners end up advancing, okay, and we know, obviously, Abby Beasley and Bud, do you think they get right at it with the ads, or do you think it's an initial blast, it gets quiet, and then it goes, or is this sustained fire between now and November?
Well, that word they, if they means the outside PACs, they already have gotten into it. I mean, Beasley had the first ad against her from the NRSC earlier this week. If we mean they by Bud and Beasley themselves, I think maybe there's a little bit of a lull, but not much.
Yeah.
I mean, this is high stakes. You know that. I know that. I don't think there's going to be. I mean, there's the old adage about, you know, it doesn't really get serious until after Labor Day, but this is an unusual year.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. All right, let me, can I hit a couple other things? So this morning we also talked about this Elon Musk issue and whether or not he's going to proceed, and we don't know, and they want to find out, and, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? So the New York Post has a piece out from, this is dated yesterday, longtime Elon Musk backer says Twitter deal will close at a lower price. And here's how they quote it in the New York Post. Longtime investor in Elon Musk's companies predicts the mogul's Twitter takeover bid will close, but not until after the Tesla titan negotiates a lower price. Tim Draper, an early investor in Tesla and SpaceX, who co-founded a venture capital firm that's sinking $100 million into Musk's Twitter bid, was asked Monday whether he thought Musk would successfully close the deal. Quote, I think so, but I think he's going to get a better deal because he found out that, whatever, two-thirds of users are bots or something. That's a very specific number.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that the word whatever is thrown in there because... Who really knows where he's getting his information? That's what's interesting to me, because we've gone from 5% as the threshold to then this morning he was talking about in his latest tweets that 20% is what he suspected it might be. And now you're getting the number thrown around, 33%.
No, two-thirds. 66%.
Oh, two-thirds. I'm sorry. 66%. But where's the truth here? Because
that's right.
This is adult money we're talking about.
Oh, huge! And look, the Twitter CEO, they mentioned this article, Parag Agrawal, posted a thread about the steps the company is taking to measure and take down bots. Okay, so they don't even know. Like, they didn't even make an effort to figure it out. And he responded. Musk responded with a smiling poop emoji.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
Beth and I were talking about this morning. I mean, again, I'll go back to that phrase, adult money, and then these emojis and these offhanded remarks and just kind of asides. I mean,
I know.
You know, we all can laugh and sort of be entertained and eat our popcorn, but I mean, the kind of popcorn these guys eat, we can only dream of.
Are you taking any road trips this summer, Bo?
No, not anything scheduled.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it might not come up.
Let me tell you why you probably shouldn't. With expectations, this is JP Morgan. With expectations of strong driving demand, the U.S. summer driving season starts on Memorial Day, which is May 30th, lasts until Labor Day, early September. JP Morgan's commodities strategist, Natasha Kaneva, warns that U.S. retail prices for gas could surge another 37% by August to a $6.20 a gallon national average.
What I meant to say, Brett, was no, I won't be taking any road trips this summer.
That's insane.
Yeah. And at what point, we've asked this question on my show in the morning, at what point does it start to really change your day-to-day lifestyle? I think you're getting in, if we're not only already there, but now you're starting to talk about, you know, are you gonna, not just road trips, but are you going to start rethinking your routine path during the week?
Ooh.
I mean, for some people, that may be what we're getting close to.
Bo, do we end up work from home again?
Well, there is a precedent, right?
There is a precedent, and $6.20 a gallon is awfully precedential. See what I did there?
That's what you call a gasoline quarantine.
You better go register that right now on the websites. Go do it.
You heard it here first.
So what do you got coming up on the show tonight and tomorrow, Bo?
That's right. I'll be in there in just a little while, 7 p.m. We begin our coverage. Yours truly, Beth Troutman, Joel Ford, Kenny Smith in the studio. We'll be checking in with you and Pete and Vince and Brett Jensen and Mark Garrison and candidates and returns and however long it takes. People have been listening for years, know how we do this. And then, of course, we'll turn right around tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. and recap it all.
Way to go. Looking forward to it. By the way, don't worry. Fox didn't call for Arizona yet. Okay. We'll talk to you a little bit, Bo Thompson.
Talk to you. Unless gas goes up to $6 between now and then, I'll be there at 7.
You got it, buddy. That's Bo Thompson. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It's the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Let me grab this call real quick. Tim is up next. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show. Tim? Tim, are you there? Tim, going once.
Where are you?
How you doing, Tim?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to call and tell you that I voted for Pat McCrory because I like him.
Oh, that's good.
And the problem with the whole thing to me is I'm just not a MAGA guy, you know. And I voted for Trump twice, but really I was voting for the party, not for him.
Gotcha. So who is if Bud ends up winning this thing, then are you going to vote with the party, or are you going to not vote, or how are you going to respond to that?
Well, I mean, some of the things I've heard about him seems pretty good. I some of these advertisements we see are just crazy.
Sure.
But I don't know. It really depends. I don't have a major problem with Bud.
Right.
But I'm not also warm and fuzzy about him either.
I got you. All right. Thanks for checking in, Tim. I appreciate you being out there, my friend.
Take care.
Take care. That's Tim. I got to say this. I have not come across a Bud voter. I'm not saying they don't exist. Please don't misunderstand me. But I have not heard from anybody who said, yeah, I voted for Bud. Because I think he's dot, 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 dot. I'm not even trying to put words in your mouth. I've not met anybody who says, okay, I'm a Bud voter. I have met Mark Walker voters, Congressman Walker voters, and I've met, obviously, Governor Pat voters. But Bud voters, you don't hear a lot from them. I mean, I think maybe that they're just like, oh, I'm quiet. I'm just going to vote the way I'm going to vote, and I'm going to move on with my life and do my thing. Because, look, after all, it is a primary. It is a primary. Well, did you see the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 against illegal immigrants seeking to avoid deportation? Gorsuch writes the dissent on this one. The U.S. Supreme Court voted 5-4 Monday to uphold a federal appellate court ruling against a man who sought to prevent his deportation after being in the U.S. illegally since the 1990s. This particular gentleman, Pankaj Kumar Patel, who entered the U.S. illegally from India, was with his wife, Joystabin, three decades ago, according to court documents, applied for discretionary adjustment of status with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services in 2007. The adjustment would have meant that Patel and his wife would have gotten green cards. It was denied by the agency after it was found he previously intentionally misrepresented his citizenship on a Georgia driver's license application. Years later, the Department of Homeland Security endeavored to deport him and his wife, prompting him to apply for an adjustment again. He argued before a federal immigration judge that he mistakenly ticked citizen off on the Georgia driver's license application, but the judge ordered him removed anyways. The Board of Immigration Appeals dismissed his case upon appeal, which led him to seek review from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which ruled it did not have jurisdiction in the case. After he petitioned them in January, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in December until agreeing with the lower court on Monday. Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote the majority opinion, arguing federal courts have a very limited role to play in this process, with the exception for legal and constitutional questions. Congress has barred judicial review of the Attorney General's decisions denying any discretionary relief from removal. Justice Neil Gorsuch joined the three liberal-leaning justices in dissent, writing, quote, "As a result, no court may correct even the agency's most egregious factual mistakes about an individual's statutory eligibility for relief. It's a bold claim promising dire consequences for countless lawful immigrants." I got to say, in this case, I have to say this. I don't think Gorsuch is wrong, because there's got to be a judicial review in case you've got someone in the federal agency that's just trying to stick it to somebody. Somebody's got to have the ability to overturn that. I mean, you watch NBA basketball, you get a challenge. You get one challenge per game. It gets reviewed. They kick it upstairs. I mean, I would try to be as accurate as we possibly can. But this being said, this guy's been in the country for 3 decades. So has he been working? Has he been making money? Has he been paying taxes? I'd like to know a little more about his backstory. Brendan is here. Brendan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
Good. It's been a long time.
Yes, sir.
You killed your show last time I was on, so I had to wait for a while to call you back.
Oh, no. The killing of the show only lasts 24 hours. You're free to call right back.
Got you. Well, listen, you asked if I voted and who I voted for, and I just want to tell you, that's private.
Right on.
That's between me and Pat McCrory.
Very nice. Nicely played, Brendan. You're redeeming yourself.
But, huh?
You're redeeming yourself. You're doing quite well.
Yeah, I'm trying to, take time. But something happened when I was there. And you know how, I don't know if you've ever experienced something, and just because you saw it, you think all of a sudden maybe it happens more often than you think because you were there for like 5 minutes or whatnot.
Sure.
I was at the ballot box, and they were helping us to the computers and stuff. And they asked the guy who was beside me, and just to light the situation or whatever.
Yeah.
He was a middle-aged black man. He's dressed nice, smelled good, and I was right beside him, so whatever. I'm dirty from work, but whatever. They asked him what party he was affiliated with, and he said Democrat. And then right after that, he said, how do I change that? And I was like, wow. Like, I was there literally for like 2 minutes and heard that. And then I thought, how often does that happen now in this primary?
I think it's happening with greater frequency.
So do I.
Now, the question is, does he want to then register Republican? Does he want to go independent? Does he want to, that's the interesting thing. You have prompted something here, Brendan. For tomorrow, I will throw that question out there and see if people are party switching. I don't care. I'm curious if people are going Republican to Democrat, Democrat to Republican, independent, whatever it is. I'm just curious about that party switching vibe, how that's going, because you don't necessarily want to be locked in if you're not happy with the way that party's going in a given way. And it's curious. It's definitely.
I think it's a good indicator of the future. Really,
it's interesting, for sure. Brendan, you did not kill the show. Mission accomplished, my friend. You call back anytime, buddy. I appreciate you being in there.
All right, take care.
Yep, that's Brendan. I'm Brett Witterbold. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It's that time where we cross the aisle bipartisanshiply. Me. And of course, that's Mark Garrison, host of Charlotte at 6, proprietor of Charlotte at 6. So what you got coming up on the big shoe tonight?
Well, of course, it is Election Day.
So much
going on. We're going to do something a little interesting. Take a look back at what appears to be the demise of Pat McCrory in the Senate race. And there are a lot of parallels between what's happening now and a Senate race here 32 years ago between Jesse Helms and Harvey Gantz. So we'll take a look at that.
Looking forward to that.
Free formula giveaway in Charlotte. I tell you, if you want to know just how desperate things are, you just talk to a mom with a 3-month-old in the car seat, and the free formula can that she's waiting to get is the only thing she's got to feed the baby.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. Also, the Better Business Bureau out with some scam warnings. If you buy formula online, you may get taken quite easily.
Oh, gosh, it's even more heartbreaking when you think about it.
It is. And Dirty Restaurant Tuesday, of course, a special Election Day version. We'll tell you about a fancy uptown steakhouse where politicians used to eat a lot, gets yet another low score.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's going on with these
people? Spend a lot of money there. And
come on. I don't need Tomaine. What's going on? You know, I found something out, Mark Garrison, I think because you have an affection, and I mean this in total respect, because you've done about three or four stories since I've been here about pigs.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Do you know it's physically impossible for pigs to look up into the sky?
What?
Yeah.
Why? They don't have sunglasses.
The way they're built, they can't look up. They can't look up into the sky.
Now, let me think about that because we did a story on a hog farm not all that long ago, and they were just rooting the ground pretty much. Not that's a good point.
It's kind of wild.
Now,
right?
did you get a research grant to learn that?
Well, you know what I put in? Do you remember remember the guy that used to wear the question mark jackets late at night?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you remember he used to be on Larry King like once every 6 months?
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten about that guy.
It's crazy, Larry. You can get money to research heroin, you know.
Or pigs and why they don't look in the sky.
That's the truth. All right, my friend. Well, listen, I'm not going to be piggish. I want to hear your show later on.
Thanks, sir.
You got it. That's Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6. Mandatory listening, ladies and gentlemen. Mandatory listening. What's going to happen is somebody's going to call. They'll be like, no, my pig looks up. My pig, yeah, but does it look up into the sky? Was it aware and concerned about the blood moon on Sunday night, the eclipse on Sunday night? I mean, was if you're going to bring me that, then be prepared to bring me that. But I don't know if that's what you're going to end up, having that information on. Because all I'm telling you is what I read, and I have no reason to doubt it, the MSNBC website. No, I'm kidding. I saw it in a science journal. Did you know, and we didn't talk about this, the UFO thing, where they had UFO hearings today to start to open the books about the UFOs because of the ufologists. Boy, that show tonight, very late, they're probably going to go it's like election night for them. You know what I'm saying? Congress has dived into the UFOs, but have found no signs of extraterrestrials. Please, just go to the city of San Francisco. You will see all the proof you need for extraterrestrials. Congress held its first hearing in a half century Tuesday on unidentified flying objects. And no, there is still no government confirmation of extraterrestrial life. Testifying before a House Intelligence Subcommittee, Pentagon officials did not disclose additional information from their ongoing investigation of hundreds of unexplained sightings in the sky. So essentially, Ronald Moultrie, who's the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, said the Pentagon is also trying to destigmatize the issue and encourage pilots and other military personnel to report anything unusual they see. Really? I'm supposed to believe this? Really? You want, just if you see something, tell us what's going on. I'm not believing that. I'm sorry. I don't think that that's the case. I think if you see Greedo with a Dolly Parton wig on flying a 68 UFO with a blinker blinking, I think you're not going to report that. I think that's just not going to be reported. The sightings are usually fleeting. Some appear for no more than an instant on camera, and then sometimes they end up distorted by the camera lens. The U.S. government is believed to hold additional technical information on the sightings that it has not disclosed publicly. All right, I'd be willing to believe this. I'd be willing to believe that you did have the crash in Roswell, and I'd be willing to believe that we somehow got our hands on the technology from the UFO, and that we were able to then take it and reverse engineer and do all kinds of stuff. But even if that's the case, we're not able to do interdimensional travel. We're not able to do, interplanet Janet travel. We're not able to do any of that. I need better proof than that. All right. Thanks to TJ. And thank you to Mark. And thank you to Boomer and Mark Muller, Bo Thompson and Brett Jensen, and each and every one of you. Coming up, starting right away, you will have the Charlotte at 6 program. Then at 7, it's the beginning of the coverage for the elections tonight. And then I may be helming it at 10 p.m., so stick around on the station all night long. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. They can all sleep soundly and everything.